The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas. Today being a Thursday, of course, Theology Thursday, with our friends at BJU Seminary down in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. And today, an interesting title, if you caught it on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, The Theology of COVID Response. Now, does COVID itself have a theology? I certainly hope not. My guess is it doesn't. But what does theology have to do with our response? And probably, I can't think of anything in the last 6 or 10 or 20 years in my life as a Christian that was as divisive or as challenging in the church as what we've done with COVID. I think at first, you go back almost 2 years now, friends. You got to think about that. February, March of 2020. So in 2 months, we're going to be at the 2-year mark, 24 grueling months of dealing with COVID. And of course, when it first started, nobody knew what we were dealing with. I think most of us were in the love your neighbor mode. And so when they say 14 days to flatten the curve or this, that, and the other thing, most of us gave them being the government, the benefit of the doubt, we're willing to do things. But after a month and 2 months and 6 months, it's very difficult and not a whole lot better inside the church. I think you probably experienced it at your church. I definitely experienced it at the church we used to attend. And then we switched churches in the middle of COVID as a result of some things, but one of those things being COVID response of the church. And so there's been a tremendous amount of division. I don't know which has been more divisive for the church. In America, evangelicalism, is it COVID or is it Donald Trump? At this point, I think it's probably COVID. So reading from today's Seminary Viewpoints blog, which oftentimes we reference when we do Theology Thursday, and then you'll meet our guest here in just a second. The title, Joy Plus Wisdom, that should ring a bell for you, coming out of the book of James. James's formula for addressing COVID-19 in a complex culture. Over the last nearly 2 years, churches have been bombarded with an unanticipated COVID-19 pandemic and a woke culture. Pastors, church leaders, and members have all faced confusion, dislocation, and sometimes even financial disaster. No wonder a recent Barna organization research reveals 38% of pastors have considered quitting full-time ministry within the past year, up a stunning 9 points from 29% just a year ago. And so this is a big problem in the church and with pastors, and we've talked about it time and time again. Now, of course, as we approach Christmas and winter, the numbers are already spiking again, and California is locking down again. New York is going into a deeper lockdown. You're going to see this around the country. And then what's a good church to do? Dr. Billy Gotcher is with us today and has been a pastor for decades and recently served for 6 years up in Vermont. And so now he's going to spend Christmas in South Carolina, which is going to be quite a difference, and has walked through the COVID response himself and wrote today's Viewpoint blog. Again, Joy Plus Wisdom, dealing with our COVID response as a church and as a culture. But Billy, it's great to see you. Welcome, if I can say that, to South Carolina, and Merry Christmas to you. How are you?
Thank you, Steve. It's a blessing to be here and to be a part of what God's doing at Bob Jones Seminary, and I thank you for having me as a guest.
So you've spent a lot of time in the South, but having been in Vermont for the last 6 years and all of a sudden it's 70 degrees a week out from Christmas, is it a bit of an adjustment? Because it seems like it's Christmas season most of the year in a place like Vermont.
That's true. I mean, the seasons are a little more distinct, or maybe I should just say the winter is a little more definite right now.
Yes,
in Vermont.
I'm sure.
So it feels a little, you know, Florida, Christmas always just snuck up on you. So now being here, it's not quite that.
But, yeah.
It's our first Christmas here, so we're just settling in.
Yeah, and exciting. I know everybody's excited to have you there at BJU Seminary and going to be teaching theology. And, of course, which would relate well to what we're talking about today, church issues, and also focusing on, and we've talked about this on the show many times, for those of you that might not have tuned in as often on Theology Thursday, 5x5x500. I got to get 500 new pastors out there every 5 years because we have a huge drought coming. It's kind of like what we're looking at in the future from a governmental perspective. perspective with unfunded liabilities, you're like, this is a train wreck coming for our the generations behind us and their generations behind them. Well, the pastor shortage is a train wreck. That train is on the tracks. It's coming at the country. And so that's why Bob Jones Seminary is so focused on that. And that's what Dr. Billy Gotcher is going to be involved in as well. But COVID had to have been a complete curveball for you, Billy, in pastoring a church and going through it. What was it like when it first got started? And then we'll dive into the blog and we'll talk about James, but just your own story and your own experience with it.
Well, as it began to roll out, obviously we're concerned for our nation and everything else, and how do we respond? How do we walk through it as a church? Even looking historically how churches prior had responded to pandemics, to think through it, pray through it. We also had a Christian school, and we had things like our governor was given a weekly update, and he said on one Thursday, kids need to stay in school. Then on Saturday, announced that our schools would be closed on Tuesday. And it was so we were right into, you know, our school where kids are going to stay in school to immediately we're going, okay, we have a Christian school. How do we do this? Mm-hmm. What do we do? And our public schools were shut down for a month. And then they came back and offered like 2 days a week of kind of instruction. And we took a week off. Our teachers came back the next week. We prepped. And then so we had basically a week and a half off school, and we launched online education for our students right away.
And then at the church, was it kumbaya, we're all on the same page, we're just going to follow you, pastor, whatever you say, mass, don't mass, open, don't open? Or was it with a little more challenging than that, I would expect?
Yeah, initially everybody was, we had set up the year before to be able to do remote, so that was a blessing. So we were able to live stream right away. We actually had a small group come to church. We could actually provide a church service, even though people weren't attending, but it still more like a church service than me sitting in my office and kind of speaking to our folks. And so we tried to do that. And then as you got closer to when you could open, when you couldn't, and then all the issues of, you know, spacing and masking and no masking, and all of this began to ratchet up. And so we really had to think through how do we walk through this as a congregation? How do we rightly respond to our governing authorities?
Yeah, because you've got how the church handles it and what you do organizationally and functionally every week. And but then you have the congregation's response to those decisions. And was that did that go according to our sin nature and human depravity, or did it go more according to, well, we really see the Lord doing a work here since we all possess the Holy Spirit and there's some unusual unity? Or what was that like just in terms of the back and forth?
Well, you had a little bit of both in individual responses. What we tried to do and what I tried to do during our shutdown was really come back to our folks and say, look, God is sovereign. God is in control of this. God is in this for our good. And what we have to make sure of as we move forward and we walk through with the information is this is not a gospel issue.
Yeah, that's such a great point. We're coming up on a commercial break, so just hold that thought right there. We're talking to Dr. Billy Gotcher from BJU Seminary. We're talking about COVID response inside the church. It's a big challenge. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. And as a reminder, all these great resources and blogs that we reference, all kinds of things that we reference and make available, not only to you, but to your pastors. So if your pastor never has a chance to listen to the show, just send them a link. You can get the podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're all over those. You can get it off of Facebook Live or YouTube Live. You can go to the Steve Noble Show page on either of those. And share that over to your pastor, because we always have brilliant theologians and pastors and professors in here on Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. So there's great resources in the conversation, but there's also great resources that are written, many of them specifically for this use and no different today in the seminary viewpoint. So we have a landing page that I always try to remind you of, is seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, I put the links up on Facebook so you can see it there. seminary.bju.edu/radio. You'll see references to all the articles and all the topics that we've been talking about over the last several months on Theology Thursday, and also references for pastors and resources that they use at their church. BJU Seminary is just doing an awesome job of trying to equip pastors as the culture continues to change. And today, as we talk about the theology of a COVID response with Dr. Billy Gotcher, this is one of those things that most churches have struggled with it. And I don't know how often we actually just kind of hit the pause button and have a conversation about it. We argue about it a lot, and I think it's calmed down a bit, thank God. But it's still a big challenge. And with winter, the numbers are going back up, and so this is going to be a challenge in church once again, I think, around the country. Joy plus wisdom, James's formula for addressing COVID-19 in a complex culture with Dr. Billy Gotcher. Again, Billy, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
You know, that's great to be with you, Steve.
So as we look at the first chapter of James and count it all joy when we meet trials or suffer trials, I don't know that we got a handle on that one, especially almost 2 years ago, to count it all joy when all of a sudden mask, don't mask, close, don't close. 6 feet apart, this pew, not that pew. It's really challenging. But in writing the blog and managing through this, Billy, was that something that just kind of kept coming back to your mind before we hit the commercial break? You said, hey, listen, how we handle the COVID response is not a gospel issue, which we all need to remember that. This is not salvific. Your response has nothing to do with your salvation. Okay, so I think it's important to keep a gospel-first mentality. But when did James and in that incredible passage of Scripture kind of start being a guiding post for you?
Probably shortly after the pandemic began. It kind of tied back to teaching pastors in China, and we had walked through the theology of God, and they were asking, okay, how do we take this and bring it practically into our church family? And they had just gone through a loss of a pastor who'd lost his life. And so they were in the middle of a trial themselves. And this is where God took me. And it was good for my soul. It was good for theirs. But as we hit this as a church, I just began to take this message home. And then it's kind of reiterated, picked up by the psalmist again in Psalm 119. So we spent the time of shutdown in our live stream walking through Psalm 119 and being reminded our God is good and doing good, that it is good for us to face affliction and to get that message home and have our folks wrestle with that it is actually good to face affliction. And then what the good things that God's going to accomplish through that. And if we can keep our focus there, then we can hopefully watch how strong we take our opinions on some of these other issues.
Yeah, so referencing James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, meaning, and I often say this, Billy, that nothing gets wasted in God's economy. So when these kind of curveballs come at us, you know the Lord's going to use it. So faith Absolutely. Produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then Psalm 119, you referenced, states of God, you are good and do good. So how important is it that we just kind of revisit who God is and make sure we understand his character?
Absolutely. I mean, I say to our folks all the time that what we know about God should control how we interpret the circumstances of life. Mm-hmm. And if that controls how we interpret the circumstance of life, then we're going to be really careful when we face something unknown, uncertain, and all this information is flowing at us. What we can turn to is what the certainty is. The goodness of God is certain, and what God will produce in our life when we respond with biblical care and wisdom is going to be good.
And isn't that kind of the point of James and then Psalm 119, which, again, this is in the blog. I put the links up for it so you guys can go read this. It's just beautiful. We can hear that truth in the voice of the psalmist. This is in 119. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So when something like COVID hits us, I think it's we all need to kind of double down and go, okay, there's where we're at now, and then there's where God wants to lead us to on the other side of this, whatever that looks like. And then we should actually kind of lean into these things, shouldn't we?
Yeah, well, it is good for us to be exposed to be dependent, to get some of our self-sufficiency stripped away. And when you face the uncertainty and the trial and you don't know what's going to happen, then we actually begin to do what we're supposed to be doing, asking God to give us wisdom. That God, we need you. And that's one of the things trials remind us of. We don't have sufficiency in ourselves.
So how do we, just starting with the beginning of that passage, how do we kind of grasp this goal of counting it all joy? How do we do that, Billy?
Well, I think we learn to count it joy when we are, again, come back to what do we know that who God is and what he's doing. And then when we understand what God's doing in the trial, it doesn't make the trial joyous in the sense that this is easy to go through. What it makes joyful is that we know we're going through this and God is doing good in our midst and through our lives, even as we experience hardship.
Yeah, so this I'll make a practical application to this. Count it all joy when you suffer trials of all kinds. So I mentioned to you earlier that I've got these seven high school age homeschool classes that I teach. 115 students. We sent out an invite about 10 days ago, kind of last minute. Hey, let's have an open house at our house. It's tonight at 6:30. Let's have an open house. It's probably not going to be too crazy. It's kind of last minute. It's December. We're coming up close on Christmas. Well, we have about 110 RSVPs. And we don't live in the White House or something. You know, we have a decent-sized house. But it's not that big. So there's the preparation for it, Billy, and all this stuff. But I know once these students and their parents and families start showing up, I know there's going to be a challenge to get through all this. But on the other end of it, I know there's blessing. And there's blessing in the process. And I think that's kind of what we need to go. All right, we know the Lord's going to do something, and we should be excited about that.
Yep. And then it presses us to go where James actually goes next, right? So you lack wisdom. If you do, it isn't a question. I mean, we faced a pandemic. We don't know all the truth. We don't know how it's going to go. Yeah. We, you know, 14 days of flatten a curve. 2 years later, we're still dealing with this. You know, it's like, okay, what do we need? Well, we need the Lord, and we need his wisdom. And we need, as a church, actually, rather than let it push us apart, pull us together. And pull us together in a place of dependency and humility where we actually pray and ask God to give us wisdom and direct ourselves.
Now, what was that like to deal with? Because, you know, we should all be asking for wisdom. If you lack it, you ask for it. James makes that perfectly obvious.
Right.
And then, but in the COVID situation, whether it's masks, don't wear masks, feet, no 6 feet, open the church, close the church. You can have a bunch of different Christians that believe that their position is the wise one, and the Christian down the street from them thinks it's unwise, that their position is wise. How did you navigate that? Because that's what I saw. We were so convinced we were right, even when we were facing off against each other.
Well, that is always hard, because you're coming back to saying, okay, remember, we're asking God to give us wisdom. Mm-hmm. And because you've parsed certain information and decided this is the best course, that's not necessarily wisdom from God. God hasn't revealed COVID to us in the Bible.
Right.
What God's revealed in the Bible is we need to love one another, and that we need to be drawn together through trials, not pushed apart. So if we're going to push apart on our own individual positions on this,
yeah,
that actually is contrary to love.
Yeah, such a great point. We should be a little bit more like penguins, I guess. And the worse the weather gets, the closer together we get. We're talking to Billy Gotcher. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at BJU Seminary in the beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. And we're talking today to Dr. Billy Gotcher, who just came on. Some more pastors and professors that BJU is just stocking up with that, which is awesome because they're so driven in the 5x5x500 goals there to really create, to crank out 500 pastors every 5 years and just keep that process going. Because we have, I'm trying to remember the stat. Billy, there's more pastors, I think, over the age of 60 or 65 than there are under 40. And when you think about that for a second, you see the writing on the wall that that's going to have massive implications for this culture. So many people that listen to the show, conservative talk radio, Christian talk radio, Billy, or you care about the country, you got to save America, all that kind of stuff. But if you have a shortage in pastors in 10 or 15 or 20 years, you think the culture's lost now. Wait till you don't have enough pastors speaking the truth of God into the people of God. It's only going to get worse. So that's why we are excited to partner with BJU Seminary. You can get all that information and be a part of that. They've got a great matching gift program going on and just different ways that you can be a blessing there. Or sharing this information with your pastor. And if you're a pastor, please make sure you get to the radio page, which will hook you up with all these different resources, seminary.bju.edu/radio. Also, on Facebook itself, I just want to remind everybody that there is BJU Seminary has a pastor's page, a specific pastoral community on Facebook. It's a closed group, but it's called All In Daily. So I'll put the links up for that as well, so you can use that. And just share that with your pastor. Just send it to your pastor. Hey, some great resources, pastor. Don't assume that your pastor, everything's fine with your pastor. Odds are it isn't. That's a far more difficult and challenging job than most of us realize. And so anything that you can do to encourage them, to bless them, and just provide, you can't tell them what to do, obviously, but just tell them about it. Hey, this is something you might want to check it out, and you might be hearing back from them shortly. And they say, hey, thanks so much for telling me about that, because there's a lot of great resources there. And that's why BJU put it there. So I'll put the link up as well. On the Facebook feed today, so you have that and you can share that with your pastors. But talking to Dr. Billy Gottscher today about the theology of COVID-19 response as we've all been dealing with that. And that's coming back around. That's the boomerang that keeps coming back around as we're hitting winter. The numbers are skyrocketing all over the place. And so this is going to be an issue once again in the church. Masking, not masking, vaccinated, not vaccinated. Do you meet? Do you not meet? And these things have been a big challenge. That's why we're talking about it. But again, Billy, thank you so much for your time today. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas, Steve. It's a blessing to be with you.
Thank you. So we're kind of working our way through James, Counting It All Joy, which is easier said than done for most of us. Count It All Joy, that was kind of the first part of the formula as we're dealing with COVID response and how do we deal with this inside the church. God's people have been there and done that. This isn't exactly like the Roman Empire, but it is one of the more challenging periods I think most of us have been in as Christians who happen to live in America. So count it all joy, understanding that God is up to something in all of this. And then we are talking about seeking wisdom from God. You mentioned something on the break, Billy, that I wanted to dive into a little bit, which was isolation. I've often said over years, especially with men's ministry and men's kind of struggles that most of us deal with, is that isolation is destruction for most of us. Jesus is about the only one that I can think of that can handle isolation. Most of us can't. And that's been a real destructive factor early on, this isolation. You talked about the school. It's hard to communicate. It's hard to have unity when everybody's looking at you through a screen. So talk about isolation a little bit and the effect that's had on the church.
Yeah, it was a real challenge. And I think one of the things that we really began pushing into as a church was to create a culture of discipleship, where we started discipleship groups where our men and ladies would meet in smaller groups, 3 to 5. And we had been doing this. So when COVID hit, one of the things we were able to do is keep the discipleship groups happening. They had to do it on Zoom to start with. They couldn't get together. But as trusted groups began to open up and things like that, we were able to put air purification systems in all of our rooms in our school and our buildings and actually provided a safe place for small groups where they could get together. So people began to have some opportunities to get back together a little sooner maybe than some others did, and that helped a great deal. And that, discipleship, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you on that because you have to realize the destruction of isolation, and you got to figure out a way to facilitate getting people. And if it's smaller groups, okay. Did you have to deal with, because we dealt with this in some small group environments we were in, Billy. Some people want to wear a mask. Other people don't want to wear a mask. Do you have to kind of be a little nimble and maybe switch things around so that people are hanging out with people that have a similar position on those things?
We worked with people. And really, again, our big message was we want to love each other, respect, where people may have different health concerns or reasonings. But we could provide a big enough space so people could even be 6 foot apart, even in a meeting. So we were trying to be creative. Some people who needed to stay home, they zoomed into the meetings, but we were able maybe a little earlier than some to get some face-to-face human interaction, which was helpful. But our small groups actually were able to keep interacting throughout that COVID shutdown, even if it was just in Zoom. They were or texting and everything, but it did help their relationships to stay strong, and it did help them also to get other perspectives even on the issues that we were talking through.
Yeah, we're working through. We're talking to Dr. Billy Gottscher today, who's a professor now at BJU Seminary, and we're walking through this blog post, Joy Plus Wisdom, James's Formula for Addressing COVID-19 in a Complex Culture. And again, I think even though that things have calmed down a lot, I think people have a lot of fatigue with the vaccine conversation. We don't even know when you're fully vaccinated anymore. But this is something that we're still in, Billy. And like I mentioned, the winter's coming. We see the numbers going up. This is something that we can't like think we've put this behind us. This is still a challenge, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think when new information comes out, with whether it's a new variant or, oh, we're going to have to get another booster, or whether you're going to. So all those issues. But the nice thing, if you can get people to step back, is look, this, it may be new information, but God's instruction hasn't changed, and it hasn't surprised God.
Yeah.
So we may be surprised, but our response still comes back. God, you're good. You know what you're doing. Give us wisdom and let us love one another through it. And let's advance the gospel and bring hope to hopeless people.
Was this a unique opportunity, Billy, when you were pastoring up in Vermont, to kind of have to revisit our relationship with our government? Yeah. I don't think it's been quite as obvious or a front burner issue as it has been the last 2 years. So I know that wasn't in the blog, but I was curious, kind of how did you deal? We talked a little bit about it on the break on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, but how'd you kind of deal with that? Because there's a lot of tension there right now.
Yeah. Well, it was frustrating to see a lot of our governor would come out of the office updates, and we would get one thing that would be a little more reasonable or friendly, and then all of a sudden it would shift. And so there was a lot of flip-flop that was going on that was driving everybody crazy. Okay, what's going to be required, what isn't? And then, you know, even the shopping experience became a nightmare, you know, during that time. Just a lot of tension. I mean, we saw a community that was very community-oriented, very personable, become really cold and isolated during COVID. It really had a lot of negative community effects. So, and that relationship with the government was obviously, you know, we're asking for your help to navigate and then be reasonable as we try to navigate.
And there was, you mentioned this on the break, Billy, that one time you guys actually called, I guess the governor's office or called somebody and they're saying, hey, what about us?
Yeah. Well, when they first even began to lift restrictions, they made no mention at all of the church. And we're like, so we called directly and talked to one of the assistants and they did respond. I was very pleased with that. Mm-hmm. We called during the week after they made their update, had no regard to the church. And that Saturday they came out and said, yes, churches can open too. And we were able to tell our folks, and we had a great service that Sunday.
Yeah.
The first time back.
So. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that was very emotional for all of us. First time my wife and I went back to in-person worship, we were shocked at how emotional that was. Because I guess you just don't realize what you have until you've lost it, which sounds like a song. But that's certainly something we all experience. And then to know what your rights are. Paul, I always think of Paul when I have this kind of conversation, because Paul knew when and where to utilize his rights as a Roman citizen, which is interestingly enough how God ended up one of the ways he got him up to Rome. But we need to know that and not be afraid to ask for it. If it's in the Constitution, we do still have the rule of law. A couple of things that you had in the blog post that I really want to make sure we visit. You had a point when we need to unite around his wisdom and the certain truths found in his word and translate them into action. So there's a few truths here, three of them specifically. What about the role of prayer in all of this?
Yeah, we were live streaming our morning service. And then what we did at night is we actually set up a Zoom prayer call. Hmm. And so we could have our folks see each other. They could hear each other's voices. We were praying for one another and we were praying for our nation. And so we began doing that right away. So we did not take Sunday night off. We came in, we set up a Zoom, and we had people on link and able to actually at least see each other and hear each other's voices and then pray together. And I thought that was just really important for us both fighting the isolation, but also our dependency on God to give us wisdom through it.
Was that one of the more intentional seasons of prayer you had seen as a pastor in a church?
I think our folks responded to that very well in understanding our dependency, our lack of wisdom on the situation, knowing what information we could trust, what we couldn't, how do we respond, and recognizing this is a unique time, but it just pointed how much we need to be in that place of dependence and need to be a praying church, not just a church that occasionally prays.
Yeah, and I love that point that you made about intentional organized communal prayer, whether it's Zoom or not, knowing that we're isolated early on. Okay. Prayer is the power that we need, but we need to do that together. It's such a powerful point. When we come back, we're going to talk about thinking of others better than yourselves. That's not easy to do. And then prioritize love, care, and support for other believers. A few other thoughts as we continue to talk about what's our theological response to the COVID pandemic and what it's done inside the church, because it's still not going away, I don't think, anytime soon. You got a lot of forces at work here, and we have to continue to battle what we do as Christians in response in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and a good witness to the lost culture. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. That wasn't crazy, was it? I don't know. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you're going to have a wonderful holiday. I'll be here again tomorrow and then be back on Monday, Tuesday. I'll be off the rest of next week. My good buddy Stu Epperson Jr. is going to be sitting in on Wednesday, and then we'll play some best of shows on Thursday and Friday. But I'll be back that Monday right after Christmas, God willing, today on Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary, talking through kind of a theology of COVID response, which largely I would say, all right, so now that you're a professor and you're going to be teaching at the seminary, Billy, the evangelical church in America, you got to give it a grade. How has she handled COVID in the last year and a half? What grade would you give her?
Probably a C, C plus, maybe.
You're trying to be generous, I think. Yeah, I think we've really struggled with this one. And I mentioned this before. On a personal level, it's been challenging with friends in the body of Christ, fellow believers. I think we've had all kinds of issues with this. And that's why we've been excited to talk to Billy about this today and walk through the blog post that we put the links up. Joy plus wisdom right out of the book of James. James's formula for addressing COVID-19. And a complex culture, which is certainly true. and that's probably an understatement. But we were talking about the role of prayer and two other things, and then we'll wrap up. Think of others as better than yourselves, Philippians 2:3, and do not speak evil against one another, James 4:11. And that's been a real challenge, I think, for most of us on this one, especially because of social media stuff. Did you guys deal with that social media? We've done some full Theology Thursdays on that issue.
Yeah, we really did. We tried to lean in. And I mean, one of the things I could say honestly to our church is, listen, I have strong opinions. I have a pretty strong personality. They know that. They know their pastor. And I said, so I could stand up here and just tell you my strong opinion, but that really doesn't help you. Mm-hmm. And then in fact, if I actually say, here's my strong opinion, love your pastor, take my opinion, that actually isn't love.
Yeah.
And I had to say, look, we part of think of others better than ourselves is we're all going to look at this. We're going to process it. We're going to make decisions, but I have to back up to the truths that God gives me and say, here's the absolutes. The rest of this is an absolute. It's what I may conclude based on the information I have, but I still have limited information.
And you mentioned, you put this in the blog post as well, just dealing with talking about showing some social media restraint is the phrase that you use. Did you guys talk about that regularly? Because, you know, this is where, because this is one of our challenges as Americans, Billy, you know this, right, that you say anything that's going to impugn my freedom, including my freedom of speech, my freedom to post as often as I want, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And you start telling people to dial it back. And a lot of times in the last 2 years, it's like, oh, you're just not bold enough. You're just not courageous enough to speak the truth, blah, 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 blah. So how did you guys handle that? Because, man, that caused a lot of problems for me because of what I do. I post pretty often and I post honestly and boldly. But, man, it's been kind of ugly.
Yeah, that's a little far from perfectly. I mean, you had people who would post something that was, you know, really, I mean, real strongly stating a case, and then there would be some polarization that would take place. And I would try and, you know, gently speak into that and say, hey, let's not get polarized over what we don't fully know. Mm. You know, it's okay to hold a strong opinion about this. I do as well. You could ask me, I'll tell you. But really, we've got to be more gracious than this. And we've got to speak to each other. We got to be really careful about throwing those barbs out there, whether it's in text or email. You know, it's just so easy to overspeak in that texting or that social media world and come off, and the other person reads it. Well, if I was saying that, I would mean this.
Right.
And then we just have this angry bashing. And it's like, you know, when you're tempted to do that, I said, pick up the phone, at least hear their voice.
Yeah.
And technology is amazing. I can actually see your face right now.
Right.
And that communication and seeing each other is so important. And you can't get that just firing away your message that states your strong opinion and why you have a right to say it.
Yeah. And in the social media world, there's 100 ways that it can go wrong and only a couple ways that it goes right. I mean, the odds are that it's going to blow up, especially the more contentious the process. And I've had to deal with that personally, Billy, having a platform where I know, thank goodness, thank you, Lord, for my wife who's called me out on multiple occasions and just simply ask, why did you post that? Why did you say that? What was your motivation there? And there's been a few times when I had to just confess and say, yeah, you know what? I did it to get a response because I was angry. And if you have a platform, you can use it as a weapon sometimes. And that was clearly a violation of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, and go, okay, was there anything loving about what I just did? Well, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I mean, we're so quick to baptize our lack of love, which takes us to our third point. Prioritize love, care, and support for other believers. Talk about that, because I think we need a reminder.
Yeah, I think that comes back. I think you mentioned it in one of those where the Lord said, you know, the world's ultimately going to know that we're his disciples by the love we have for each other. And so part of it is we got to love the truth. And we know the truth is found in God's word. And when we come to issues like pandemics and COVID and vaccines and everything else, you know, truth's out there. We're not necessarily sure who's the one telling it to
us.
And we have to kind of parse it and recognize, you know, we may not know the full picture of it. God does. And what God has told me to do is love him, love his word, love others. And if I keep that straight, then I resist some of my own fleshly temptation to think too much of my own personal opinion.
Do you think sometimes, Billy, that we get, because one of the points was, of course, spend time with other believers,
absolutely,
which can be really hard. Meet each other's needs, which is super important. When necessary, engage in thoughtful in-person correction, which is also sharpening each other. I think sometimes we might overreact to the contention that we both mentioned, and that we stop being iron on iron. We just avoid conflict whatsoever, and then there's never any kind of thoughtful, even though it might be difficult, dialogue.
Right. Well, I think that if I can go back to our part of our small group discipleship culture was one of those places where it takes time to build that relationship of trust, where you trust somebody enough to when they speak into your life, you don't get self-defensive.
Yeah.
You know, so part of that is what helped us. We had been working for a couple of years building that culture of discipleship where we speak truth into each other's lives. So as we faced this, we were able to do that within our discipleship groups more than we could to people who weren't connected that way. You know, others who were more isolated, weren't connected to the body very well, struggled more in their own responses or in even being willing to hear maybe another side or another voice or a corrective. But those within those cultures know those people around them love them, and they were much more willing to receive correction if needed or instruction.
Yeah, and I think that's if you're going to approach, and you put this, whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And we have to remember that when we go into that, again, I'm always going to question my own motivation. Somebody years ago, Billy said to me, Steve, you always need to be suspicious of yourself. And I'm like, was that a personal attack? What did he just say to me? Then when I slowed down and thought about it, I go, okay, I'm just acknowledging the fact that I can be... A Puritan writer once said, the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. Well, yep. I fall under that umbrella. So I'm capable of far worse things than perhaps I think I am. And just to be humble enough to go, okay, I probably have some issues here. But we really struggle with that because I think we've fallen into the trap of the social media world. That because you can say something, it's right to say something. And if you don't say something, then you're being a coward. If you're all truth and no grace, you're just a bully. And I think most of us struggle with that. Why do you think we struggle with restraining ourselves, Billy, and especially in the context of COVID?
Well, I think you've described it well. I mean, it's that natural struggle we all have with sin. And that's at the core being that I'm selfish enough that I will exalt myself first. So my opinion, my discernment, my wisdom. And, you know, so I think that's when you come back and say, well, God sends these things that just bring us to the end of that knowledge of self. Mm. And it humbles us. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for me to say, I don't have the answer, but I trust a God who does.
Yeah. Amen. What a great point.
And I don't have to have the answer, nor do I have to weigh into everything that people around are weighing into. I don't need to get caught in that trap. Because it's a trap, and it's going to trap us into where we polarize and we take sides and we play party spirit. Yeah. And then we get divided over things that God never intended us to be divided over.
Yeah, that's such an important point right there. We divide over things that God never intended us to divide over. And that's such an important reminder. What about the positive side of this? There's some things that we should be looking for here, Billy, or things that you've seen that the church has grown from. Is there a pot of gold anywhere at the end of this rainbow?
I think that humility and dependence and the place to really become a praying people and asking the humility to ask God for wisdom to daily. I mean, there's not a day I don't need wisdom. There's not a day I don't need the Lord. I need instruction to handle life in a complex world filled with circumstances I don't anticipate and to be able to do that with grace because I know my God is good. Knowing my God is good and I can depend on him means that I can handle the circumstances with grace without being overwhelmed by them, even though they're overwhelming.
Yeah, such a great point. What about from a missionary perspective? I know you have a heart for missions and have done that yourself, but help us to understand. We just have about a minute and a half left. Let's look at the American culture right now as a missionary. In the midst of all the upheaval from COVID, what should we be focusing on? Help us get our hearts and our minds around that.
Well, I think one of the things that helped or one of the challenges was isolation kept us away, but we had to recognize there's so many needy, hurting people. Mm-hmm. And if we become selfish, I just focus on how do I respond, how I get my family through, how do we do this? There's so many people around us who are looking for answers, and we need to really be a light of the gospel and say, God has the answers. God is good. He's doing good. And you know, we can point them to Jesus who loves them, died for them, and can give them hope in the middle of their hopelessness.
Yeah, especially when we hit the Christmas season, because we talk about Merry Christmas, and I can say that with a genuine smile on my face.
Absolutely.
But there's a whole lot of people that the last word they're going to use to describe this Christmas season is Merry. And I think it's worse now because of COVID, and we need to be sensitive to that. Dr. Billy Gotcher, so great to have you on. Just stay with us for just a minute, because when the radio show's over, we'll pray with our friends on Facebook and YouTube. But it's been wonderful having you, and congratulations on your new position there at BJU Seminary. Excited to see, and we'll do this again in the future, hopefully.
Look forward to it, Steve. Thank you for
having me. You're welcome. Stay right there. We'll be back tomorrow. Not exactly sure. I'm probably going to do a little bit more news. I've been staying away from that for the last week and a half because I can be a glutton. And so can you, but tomorrow there's a lot to talk about. So God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.